intro. Jim Fetzer, host on Authentic News right here on RBN Live this 29th day of March 2024, simulcasting on Speak Free Radio. This is Good Friday in Christian religion, honoring the crucifixion. Sunday, of course, celebrating the resurrection. We have some stunning developments. I've reported already Moon of Alabama had explained how the New York Times had misrepresented the United Nations Security Council resolution by saying that it called for a ceasefire, when in fact it demands a ceasefire. Resolution that call for something to be done are the legal equivalent of asking pretty please and has no real consequences, legal or otherwise. UN Security Council Resolution 2728, however, which passed on 14-0 vote with the U.S. abstaining, does not call upon Israel or Hamas to do this or that. It demands that they do an immediate ceasefire in the month of Ramadan. They also demand the immediate and unconditional release of all hostages. They further demand that the parties comply with their obligations under international law in relation to persons they detain, meaning their humanitarian causes. Well, now it turns out that the United States is sabotaging the United Nations. Here's what he's further written. Is the U.S. now a rogue nation against the rest of the world? Ted Snyder asks. Is America a rogue superpower? Unipolar used to mean the United States was, at least in theory, alone in leading the world. Now, unipolar means that the United States is alone and isolated in opposition to the world. He refers to the recent security resolution, which demands a ceasefire in Gaza, demands a release of hostages, demands unhindered supply of food and other items to Gaza. The U.S. has falsely claimed the resolution is not binding. This is stunning in her explanation. This is the U.S. representative of the American abstention, U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Linda Thomas-Greenfield, surprisingly, wrongly, falsely, deceitfully, egregiously said, we fully support some of the critical objectives in this non-binding resolution. Her claim that the Security Council resolution was non-binding was not an off-script impromptu comment, but the strategy of a country that enforces not international law, but the U.S.-led rules-based order. What we have a conflict is between international law rooted in the United Nations Charter, where its resolutions are legally binding. They have the status of international law. That's why UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said this resolution must be implemented. Failure would be unforgivable. UN Deputy Spokesperson Farhan Haq explained, all the resolutions of the Security Council are international law. They are binding as international law. Others regard this matter the same way. On behalf of the 10 elected members of the Security Council who drafted the resolution, Pedro Comesario, Mozambique's envoy to the UN, said, All United Nations Security Council resolutions are binding and mandatory, adding, it is the hope of the 10 that the resolution adopted today will be implemented in good faith by all parties. Even the United Kingdom did not share the U.S. claim, prompting their envoy to say, we expect all council resolution to be implemented. This one is not any different. The demands in the resolution are absolutely clear. China, too, did not share the U.S. evaluation. China's UN ambassador, Zhang Jun, said Security Council resolutions are binding. France rejected the U.S. claim. Russia, similarly. Four of the five permanent members of the UN Security Council, including two major U.S. allies, all of the non-permanent members and UN Secretary General have explicitly said that the resolution 2728 is binding. United States, and perhaps a few of its minor proxies, is the only which publicly disputes a fact of the matter. And here we had a spokesman for the Department of State contradicting, get this.
Sources to investigating whether powerless college kids have opinions slightly outside of mainstream acceptability. The UN Special Rapporteur for Human Rights in Palestine was engaged in what one might reasonably say was a slightly more pressing endeavor, reporting on whether Israel is in fact committing genocide against the Palestinian people. Here is Francesca Albanese explaining her task.
Following nearly 6 months of unrelenting Israeli assault on occupied Gaza, it is my solemn duty to report on the worst of what humanity is capable of, and to present my finding, the anatomy of a genocide. History teaches us that genocide is a process, not a single act. It starts with the dehumanization of a group as other, and the denial of that group's humanity, and ends with the destruction of the group in whole or in part. The dehumanization of Palestinians as a group is the hallmark of their history of ethnic cleansing, dispossession, and apartheid. In the words of Edward Said, Palestinians were made orphans of a homeland by the creation of the State of Israel and its continuous policies, intended to erase their presence from their land. Genocide is defined in international law as specific sets of acts committed with intent to destroy in whole or in part a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group as such. It is often referred to as the crime of crimes due to its complexity and because of the challenge of proving the specific intent as the convention requires. And yet, this complexity is not about the creation of a hierarchy among atrocity crimes. It's rather a reflection of a different nature and scale. The heightened threshold for intent, namely to destroy a group as prescribed by Article 2 of the Genocide Convention, must be proven directly or inferred from facts which admit of no other reasonable inference. But when genocidal intent is so conspicuous, so ostentatious as it is in Gaza, we cannot avert our eyes. We must confront genocide. We must prevent it, and we must punish it.
I hope you really took that in. Here we have Albanese. She's a human rights lawyer hired by the UN Human Rights Council to provide analysis. She is telling them in no uncertain terms that there are, quote, reasonable grounds to believe that Israel is, in fact, committing genocide. The viewpoint maligned as fringe and hysterical by the U.S. media is now finding widespread validation among everyone from UN-hired experts to the International Court of Justice to a majority of Biden 2020 voters to cultural figures like Joe Rogan, as we showed you earlier. And as time passes and awareness of what has already unfolded seeps in, the truth is only going to become more undeniable, which is why when questioned about this report, U.S. State Department spokesperson Matt Miller reacted in the most predictable way possible. Rather than engaging with the compelling facts of the report, he smeared its author as an anti-Semite.
Let me ask you, have you, did you see or read the report made by Francesca Albanese yesterday in Geneva, where she cited, where she actually, what she showed was irrefutable, as far as she's concerned, irrefutable evidence that Israel engaged in genocide. Did you see the report? What is your comment on
it? I did see the report. Let me say a couple things about it. First, we have for a longstanding period of time opposed the mandate of this special rapporteur, which we believe is not productive. And when it comes to the individual who holds that position, I can't help but note a history of anti-Semitic comments that she has made that have been reported.
She made anti-Semitic comments
she made in December that appeared to justify the attacks of October 7th. So I think it's important to take that into account. But with respect to the report itself, we have made clear that we believe that allegations of genocide are unfounded. But at the same time, we are deeply concerned by the number of civilian casualties in Gaza. And that's why we have pressed the government of Israel on multiple occasions to do everything it can to minimize those civilian casualties.
She's been getting a lot of death threats and other threats and so on. And because people think she made anti-Semitic comments and so on. Let me just go over to another topic.
Make a comment like that without letting me respond. Obviously, death threats against anyone are inappropriate.
Okay.
Of course, Francesca Albanese has not made anti-Semitic comments. It's a baseless smear. She has, though, been critical of Israel and is now offering compelling evidence and analysis of grave crimes, which directly implicate the United States and Matt Miller himself. His nasty response there is an indication of how significant this report actually is. It's especially impactful for three key reasons. First, because of the clarity and analytical precision with which it is written. Second, because as a report by a UN hired expert delivered for the benefit of that body, it may carry special weight with the International Court of Justice itself, a UN body. And finally, because it calls for specific actions to be taken by UN member states, including or perhaps especially the United States of America. Now, let's start with some of the details from the report, which led Albanese to her dramatic conclusion. She identifies three genocidal acts as defined by the Genocide Convention. Number one, killing members of the group. Number two, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group. And number three, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. Now, as evidence of these acts, she cites everything from the tonnage of explosives used in just the first several months of the onslaught, the equivalent of two nuclear bombs, to the lifelong trauma those who survive will no doubt struggle with after seeing every aspect of their civilian lives destroyed, and the siege, which is causing 10 children to starve to death every day. She writes in the report, quote, Gaza has been completely sacked. Israel's relentless targeting of all means of basic survival has compromised the ability of Palestinians in Gaza to live on that land. This engineered collapse of life-sustaining infrastructure corresponds to the stated intentions to make Gaza, quote, permanently impossible to live in, where no human being can exist. She also, of course, critically spends quite a bit of time on intent. The mens rea, or mental state required to prove genocide, includes both a general intent to commit the acts and a specific intent to eliminate a group in whole or in part. This would be the now somewhat infamous dolus specialis. Here's a portion of what Albanese writes with regard to how intent may be established and why she believes that intent has been demonstrated with regards to Israel in a uniquely clear-cut way. Quote, the nature and scale of the atrocities, if demonstrably capable of achieving the genocidal outcome, are strong evidence of intent. The words of state authorities, including dehumanizing language combined with acts, are considered a circumstantial basis from which intent can be inferred. Dehumanization can be understood as foundational to the process of genocide. Evidence of context may help determine the intent and must be considered with the actual conduct. Intent should be evident above all from words and deeds and patterns of purposeful action such that no other inference can be reasonably drawn. Now, in the latest Gaza assault, direct evidence of genocidal intent is uniquely present. Vitriolic genocidal rhetoric has painted the whole population as the enemy to be eliminated and forcibly displaced. High-ranking Israeli officials with command authority have issued harrowing public statements evincing genocidal intent. She then proceeds to list a selection of such harrowing public statements, many of which you will probably already be familiar, and which taken together paint an undeniable portrait of dehumanization and intention to annihilate, coming from every level of government and echoing throughout society. For anyone who has acquainted themselves with the South African filing against Israel, the facts and utterances offered in these sections will likely be pretty familiar. But there were two areas in which I thought Albanese's report was particularly illuminating. First, she systematically exposed the way that Israel's perverted the language of international humanitarian law in order to justify crimes against humanity. Albanese writes that Israel's used this jargon to transform all civilians into human shields who can be murdered at will, all civilian infrastructure into legitimate military targets. Quote, after October 7th, this macro characterization of Gaza civilians as a population of human shields has reached unprecedented levels, with Israel's top-ranking political and military leaders consistently framing civilians as either Hamas operatives, accomplices, or human shields among whom Hamas is embedded. In November, Israel's Minister of Foreign Affairs defined the residents of the Gaza Strip as human shields and accused Hamas of using the civilian population as human shields. The ministry defines armed groups fighting from urban areas as deliberately embedded in the population to such an extent that it cannot be concluded from the mere fact that seeming civilians or civilian objects have been targeted that an attack was unlawful. Now, two rhetorical elements, she writes, of this key legal policy document indicate the intention to transform the entire Gaza population and its infrastructures of life into a legitimate targetable shield. The use of the all-encompassing, the combined with the quotation marks to qualify civilians and civilian objects, Israel has thus sought to camouflage genocidal intent with humanitarian law jargon.
This is so brilliant. She's got it so right. I'm terribly, terribly impressed. Very, very, very much. And this is just simply sensational. And we know, of course, that that's going to be the whole idea. Any criticism of Israel is therefore ipso facto anti-Semitic, even though the Israelis at present occupants aren't even Semites. This is all completely outrageous. Donald Trump has himself acknowledged, as RT has reported, that Israel has made a big mistake, but I'm troubled. It sounds to me as though Trump is simply saying publicizing what you have done is what is wrong, rather than that what you have done is wrong. Former U.S. President Trump has warned that Israel is losing a lot of support and must finish up its war in Gaza before its reputation declines any further. The comments represent a rare moment of criticism of the Jewish state by Trump. In an interview with Israel Hayhan, partially published Monday, Trump said he would have acted very much the same way as you did if the U.S. had been attacked as Israel was by Hamas. Only a fool would not do that. However, Trump called Israel's wholesale destruction of civilian homes in Gaza a very big mistake. It's a very bad picture for the world. The world has seen this every night. I would watch buildings pour down on people, Trump continued. Go and do what you have to do, but you don't do that. And I think that's one of the reasons there's been a lot of kickback, and people don't see that. Every single night I'd watch, and every single one of those not added homes being destroyed. And I think Israel wanted to show that it's tough, but sometimes you shouldn't be doing that. Charitable interpretation, they should not be destroying the homes of civilians in Gaza. Meanwhile, Alan Dershowitz, who is, of course, one of our nation's leading constitutional experts, emphasizes Joe Lieberman's last words of warning Democrats against criticism of Israel. This, under the circumstances, this is to me outrageous. Late political giant Joe Lieberman from Newsmax was working until the last day of his life on a joint statement warning Democrats they would not be able to count on Jewish votes if they abandoned Israel. Harvard Law Professor Emeritus Alan Dershowitz, who was involved in the statement, told Newsmax on Thursday. This is probably the last thing he ever wrote, Dershowitz said, showing the document. These are his handwriting, interlineation, just 2 or 3 hours before it fell and then died. He shared the document in Thursday's Wall Street Journal a day after Lieberman, 82, died from complications after a fall in his home. It's a warning to President Biden, saying you can't count on pro-Israel Jewish votes and you can't mortgage our votes to what we call a two-state solution. What a disgrace. What a disgrace. I'll be right back. I don't need if anybody's helping anyway. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a change of mind. I'll open up the door.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Before I turn to other issues, I just want to emphasize, it's been obvious that Gaza was in many ways a fight between international law and the U.S. rules-based order. The whole episode around the U.N. resolution is a perfect illustration. This is Moon of Alabama. There is no, actually quoting Arnaud Bertrand, there's no debate among international law scholars that resolutions of the UN Security Council that demand certain actions are binding. In fact, resolutions by council are international law. Article 25 of the UN Charter clearly states, the members of the United Nations agree to accept and carry out the decisions of the Security Council in accordance with the present charter. Yet the U.S. now argues that the rule is in fact different. It's a non-binding resolution. So there's no impact at all on Israel. Where is this rule written that somehow when the UN Security Council demands an immediate ceasefire for the month of Ramadan, respected by all parties leading to a lasting, sustainable ceasefire, it's non-binding, and there's no impact at all on the warring party? Nowhere. That's the beauty of the rules-based order. The rules are made up in the moment to fit the interests of the U.S. and its henchmen, depending on their circumstances. We all know of the Samson option where Israel has threatened to bring down the world if the existence of Israel were to be threatened by putting nuclear devices in the capitals of all the Western nations and in many of the largest cities of the United States. That is well known to be a fact. What we have here is the legal equivalent, destroying international law by having the United States act at its bottom. But it's never been more obvious that the American government is completely controlled by Israel, that we are not the United States of America, that this is not a nation of, by, or government of, by, and for the people of the United States. This is a nation that the United States of Israel, of, by, and for the leaders of Israel, the Zionist genocidalists. And to have this State Department guy come out and, you know, say, attack her for this masterful, magisterial, exquisitely reasoned, copiously documented indictment of Israel for genocide may be the most disgraceful moment in the history of this once great nation. The most disgraceful. The whole existence of international law, the whole way in which nations have been relating to one another since World War II, which was largely inspired by, promoted by, the United States itself, has now committed an attack upon itself. This is a catastrophic blunder. This is a colossal admission that Israel is in control. That spokesman might as well have been Bibi Netanyahu himself. Just, I am repulsed and disgusted. Now we have Douglas McGregor reflecting on the attack on the Moscow, which is going to require direct retaliation. Check it out.
So let's talk about what your initial response is to this. It seems like the West was quick to jump on the idea that this was ISIS, and even other newspapers out of Australia were saying, don't believe anything Putin says. Clearly, this was Putin that launched this attack, just like he blew up his own Nord Stream pipeline. Just like any other attack that happens in Moscow, he's dropping drones on his own residential building. So this was Putin. What did you make of the initial response to this and now Putin's response in the immediate aftermath?
Well, understanding the Western commentary and response, and actually the event itself, requires that you understand two key points right now that most people in the West are not getting. The first is that Zelensky and his regime is the equivalent of a fatally wounded animal that is dying. And as a result, it will strike out with whatever it has to the bitter end at this point, rather than essentially surrender, give up, and negotiate. So think of Zelensky's regime as a dying entity. Will grasp at anything he can find. He has no real capability left on the ground. He can barely defend what he's got on the ground. And so he's turning to other forms of action, like this terrorist attack, or the use of more drones against Russian targets in Russia itself. So that's the first thing. Second thing is that NATO is in complete disarray. Behind the scenes, people are panicking. They know the war is lost. That's been clear for a long time now. You'll remember when we talked last year about the NATO summit in Lithuania, mm-hmm. in Vilnius, and no one would speak to Zelensky. Zelensky was essentially given the cold shoulder because they viewed him as the individual who'd lied to them about his ability to be successful and defeat the Russians. And in truth, they'd all been lying to themselves from day one. We, of course, helped this along by promising the world that delivered nothing.
Picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
I have 5 more stories about Ukraine and then others about Gaza. Putin issues F-16 warning to Kiev sponsors, explaining they're not going to make any difference on the battlefield. Putin has unveiled a terrifying hypersonic anti-ballistic missile that's a satellite killer, believe me. When the satellites are being destroyed, you know we're at World War III. That hit has begun. Russia says Moscow theater terrorists receive funding from Ukraine via cryptocurrency surprise. Macron in France has talked about recruiting 200,000 soldiers for the war in Ukraine. This is so lunatic. Meanwhile, U.S. and British special services clash over the Ukrainian campaign against Russian oil infrastructure. This is committing strikes deep inside Russia. This is coming from South Front. The rift between U.S. and British special services is growing over the recent series of Ukrainian, meaning they're actually being engineered by the U.S. and U.K., attacks on oil infrastructure in Russia. Over the past month, the U.S. leadership has repeatedly sent signals to its Ukrainian partners that would be unhappy to see strikes on oil refineries inside Russia. These signals were silently ignored or even publicly rejected by Kiev. Strikes on infrastructure, by the way, are, of course, war crimes. Most recent media reports suggest the attacks are likely to become more common in the near future. The reports MI6 personnel have held a series of meetings with their little brothers from the SBJ and Main Directorate of Intelligence in Kiev, allegedly dedicated to the development of long-standing strategy and tactical plans for a campaign of attacks on oil refineries in Western and Central Russia. Again, I reiterate, these are war crimes. Meanwhile, more about Gaza. Counterpunch. Complicit in genocide where Israel gets its weapon, which of course is from the United States. How about this? Israeli troops shot unarmed Palestinians, buried them with bulldozer on Gaza's beach. Is there any surprise there? Moreover, Ashel Favre, Benjamin Netanyahu is Israel's worst prime minister ever. This is from reader-supported news. I mean, that's interesting because that's such a main outline for the liberal left. Let's catch a few of the words. One man's ambition has undermined Israel's security and consumed its politics. If Benjamin Netanyahu had accepted defeat in June of 2021, finally yielding the state to a coalition of his opponents, he could have retired at the age of 71 with a decent claim to having been one of Israel's more successful prime ministers. He had already surpassed the time in office as Israel's founder, David Ben-Gurion, becoming the country's longest-serving prime minister in 2019. 12 years of Netanyahu's leadership have seemingly made Israel more secure and prosperous, with deep trade and defense ties across the world. But that wasn't enough to win him another term. At that point, Netanyahu could have sealed his legacy, a plea bargain. When he was hauled into court, an offer from the attorney general would have ended his corruption trial with a conviction on reduced charges and no jail time. He would have had to leave politics probably for good, but he has fought it, and the war has been his method, his primary technique, which has been disastrous. Disastrous. Meanwhile, counterpunch, a world going in the wrong direction. We don't have any doubt about it. Here are some other developments. Replacement migration is a global UN initiative. I've given you a link where you can read the report from the United Nations itself. Replacement migration is a solution to declining and aging population and or just replenish them with foreigners, with immigrants. Meanwhile, this is positive. An Irish hate speech bill is dead in the water. Wow. Two governor ministers have just admitted the Irish hate speech bill is dead in the water. Sinn Féin also recently flipped their stance on the bill, coming out against it. People power has prevailed. You can read about it, listen about it right there on Twitter. I give you the link. Urgent national security warning announced. This now is coming from the right. Enormous number of illegal immigrants who have crossed the border is causing concern, according to the head of the U.S. Border Patrol. Surprise, surprise. The Border Patrol this fiscal year will detain 1 million migrants between ports of entry along the border between the United States and Mexico. No surprise there. Meanwhile, Synergy Marine Group managed the ship that hit the Baltimore Bridge, has a strong business relationship with China. It specializes in remote system monitoring. I accept all that about remote system monitoring, but not that China had a motive to bring about this collapse. This is a Ukrainian, Israeli, even possibly CIA op, and it's having devastating consequences. It may very well have been by remote control, however. Meanwhile, and I take this to be a highly positive development, hundreds of anti-Israel protesters denounced Biden as a war criminal outside of a star-studded $25 million Radio City fundraiser. Listen to this from the New York Post. Hundreds of anti-Israeli protesters ascended on Radio City Music Hall Thursday ahead of President Biden's star-studded campaign fundraiser as part of a Flood Manhattan for Gaza demonstration. The droves of angry demonstrators surrounding the iconic venue on 6th Avenue, where former President Barack Obama and Bill Clinton will join Biden for the fundraiser, including a discussion moderated by CBS late night show host Stephen Colbert, who I once thought was a smart guy and a good guy, but turns out to be a shill, a phony, and a fraud. Free, free Palestine, the group chanted as they were closely watched by a line of NYPD officers. Others yelled, F Joe Biden, genocide Joe has got to go. I applaud them. Absolutely appropriate. Meanwhile, Tulsi, unbeaten Trump's VP, who's puppeteering Biden and corruption in Congress, in my opinion, Tulsi is doing herself proud by denouncing what's going on here. Let's see if we can pick it up. It's with Tucker.
Wasn't that long ago we had air travel and electricity and air conditioning. It was part of the modern era. 2013, Tulsi Gabbard, who was in her early 30s, had just been elected from Hawaii. She was a member of Congress, first-term a Democrat. And not just a Democrat, she was the single most famous freshman that year, and she was feted by her party. The Democratic Party made her vice chair of the DNC as a freshman that year. And she was on the cover of a magazine. She was the future of the Democratic Party. It was 2013. Fast forward 11 years to the beginning of 2024, that very same person was a headliner at CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee. And not only did she speak there, she was arguably the most popular person who spoke there. This year, 11 years later, here's part of what she said.
Our democracy is under attack. The perpetrators of this attack are those who, in the name of saving our democracy, are destroying it. I don't use these words lightly. Every one of us who loves this country and who cherishes peace and freedom should be very alarmed by those who, driven by their insatiable hunger for power, are actively undermining all that we stand for. And almost every single day, if you're paying attention to the news and the headlines, there is some new assault and some new attack. Now, it's the Democrat elite and the swamp creatures in Washington who are doing all that they possibly can to keep us, the American people, from a very simple thing, having the freedom to choose who we want to be our next president. And it is clear through their actions, they have no respect for us, and they have no respect for our fundamental rights as citizens of this democratic republic. They are so terrified that we, the people, may make what they think is the wrong choice, that in the name of protecting democracy and saving us from ourselves, they're actually destroying our democracy and taking away our freedom.
Wow. You can see why she was the most popular speaker at CPAC this year. But again, 11 years from vice chair of the DNC to headlining CPAC. Some people have asked, well, wait a second. That's awfully fast. This must be an op. She must be a secret lefty or a CIA agent. Well, of course, we can't know. But if she was, she'd probably be getting something out of it. She'd be really rich. But no, Tulsi Gabbard is probably the least rich famous person in the United States. She has not cashed in, just the opposite. She's actually really suffered for her change of heart. So what was the process that led her from freshman in Congress 11 years ago to headliner at CPAC this year?
I love Tucker. Great interview with Tulsi. Meanwhile, we have Donald Trump asserting, religion and Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country, and I truly believe we need to bring them back. He said it's one of the biggest problems we have. That's why our country is going haywire. We have lost religion in our country. Meanwhile, their calls for impeachment after a federal judge appeared on CNN and criticized Trump. Judges are supposed to be neutral. There's one on Trump and the F word. I mean, also from RSN. And remember, I'm now surprised that RSN is publishing some good stuff. Impressive to me. Meanwhile, it turns out that RFK Jr.'s independent bid is actually hurting Biden at the polls. Not Trump, Biden. RFK, this is from the Political Insider. RF Kennedy Jr. is reportedly hurting President Biden at the polls as he continues his independent campaign for the White House. Kennedy initially ran against Biden in the Democrat primary, saw some good poll returns despite not having a legitimate shot to win the nomination. But as a Political Insider reported at the time, man, if only somebody could convince Kennedy to run as an independent. He did. Some readers on the left were concerned that his anti-COVID vaccine views were strongly connected to conservative views at the time, might lead him to siphon votes away from Donald Trump. The numbers don't seem to be bearing that out. Trump, the Republican nominee, has gone hard in making sure that voters understand that RFK is more closely aligned with President Biden. The message seemed to be coming across in the polls. RFK Jr. is a lifelong leftist. His running mate, Nicole Sherahan, is even more liberal than he, if that's possible. According to the Intelligencer, RFK was drawing votes away from both candidates initially. His role has become more defined in recent polls. More recent polling has most often shown him helping Trump more than Biden, both nationally and in the battleground states. The poll cites Real Clear Politics numbers, and that's by far the most reliable site we have, showing RFK sways the race by almost 4 full points. That's a significant shift when discussing two candidates who've been neck and neck for some time. More there. I regard that as good news. Meanwhile, John Stewart, who has been a critic of Trump, turns out to have made millions by inflating the value of his home. Remember, that's the absurd basis for this lawsuit in New York City, where Letitia James is trying to seize Trump Tower and all that. It's all going to be thrown for a loop, just as Fannie Willis has been when Jim Jordan hit her with a curveball. I like this guy, Jim Jordan. If Tulsi were not to be Trump's choice as VP, and I think we're seeing more signs that she will be, Jim Jordan would be a great choice, as would be my Senator Johnson from right here in Wisconsin. House Judiciary Chair Jim Jordan added to the growing list of problems for Fulton County DA Fannie Willis. He threatened to hold her in criminal contempt of Congress for refusing to respond to a lawful subpoena by his committee. Oh, Fannie's going nowhere fast. Meanwhile, Jussie Smollett is heading to the Illinois Supreme Court as he appeals his hate crime hoax conviction. This is so ridiculous. Remember, he was attacked like at 2 a.m. on like the coldest day of the year, coming out of a subway by two. They were supposed to be right-wingers who just happened to be carrying a noose and a bottle of bleach. I mean, it was such an absurd story. They turned out to be Nigerian bodybuilders who work with him on the set of the show where he was an actor, and he paid them with a personal check for $3,500. Just ludicrous. It would be absurd if it were made of reversed in any way, shape, or form. Check out my corruption galore, deception galore for my 2020 presentation for the false flag and conspiracies. You can find on my blog, go to jameshfetzer.org. Right there on the menu bar, go to events. Scroll down to 2020. You'll learn all you want about Bubba Wallace, Jussie Smollett, and even George Floyd. Those were all staged events. Meanwhile, California forces their judges to do one thing, and it's the ultimate woke order. This is embarrassing. California has become ground zero for the destruction of American culture and the rule of law. Leftist political leaders have attacked everything that stands for a united republic. They've been ingenious in undermining the Constitution. At the heart is control of parents and their rights in raising their children. They've now forced the legal system to oppress parents who don't bow to the demands of leftist ideology. From the Daily Caller. Judges who handle child abuse and neglect cases in California are required now to take a training on LGBT issues that pushes them to consider whether parents who object to their child preferred pronouns should even have custody. How bad is that? We'll be right back.
Gilad Atzmon, he says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS.
This woman, she's like, oh, yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, no.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Feeling down, and I do appreciate
Well, eight other stories I'm not going to be able to address in detail. Louisiana becomes the first state to reject the World Health Organization power grab in terms of misleading efforts to support the pandemic treaty. Very bad idea. Puts the WHO basically in charge of the health policies of every nation in the world. To hell with that. Here's a good one. Biden's greenhouse gas emission rule for vehicles struck down by a Texas judge who was appointed by Donald Trump. Once they destroyed that, the whole green agenda, EVs and all that fall apart. And as I've explained, EVs actually put up more pollution than new gas guzzlers they want to destroy, which are cheaper and more efficient not only to manufacture, but much more versatile and user-friendly and less costly. Meanwhile, DOJ's Red Flag Center ignores fury among gun right defenders. Gun right gun owners of America, NRA, have been pretty good in going after these absurd efforts. Meanwhile, my dear colleague Kevin Barrett, now resigned in Morocco, writes about JFK 9/11 and the media Gaza Unitarianism, meaning how much the media, you know, has been supportive of Israel. If you want more about JFK, John Carman, my co-host, and I interviewed Jerry Corsi about the new book with David Mandick, and I'm giving you a link here for that show. Meanwhile, parents outraged after a women's soccer team that featured five transgender players wins a tournament. Yes, men are physically stronger and more able athletically. It's absurd to have men on women's sports team. This is just disgusting. Meanwhile, this woke box office disaster may finally be the straw that breaks Hollywood's woke back. It is. They had a very weird film. Let me find the title. But here it is. The American Society of Magical Negroes. That had a measly $1.3 million at the box office in its opening weekend, even with much fanfare at the Sundance Film Festival. It was supposed to be a fresh satirical comedy about a young man, Aaron, recruited into a secret society of magical black people who dedicate their lives to a cause of utmost importance, making white people's lives easier. Give me a break. Meanwhile, Winston Wu has discovered that in a video about Apollo 11, Wernher von Braun basically admitted that the whole thing was a hoax. Winston's a brilliant guy. He contributed a sensational chapter enumerating like 35 reasons we knew we didn't go to the moon in my book, and I suppose we didn't go to the moon either, which is actually my favorite of all these books I published. Right back to take your call.
Gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easehoff LLC, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.